Now, there's a discussion here about Bnei Ha'ir. Who exactly are the Bnei Ha'ir? The Rashba quotes Mefarshim, maybe it's the Ravid, that Bnei Ha'ir are the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. Virayasam, and their proof of these Mefarshim is from the statement of Rava, which we mentioned yesterday on Daf Chavav, Lo Shanu Ella Shelo Machru Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir B'maimon Anshei Ha'ir. And it sounds like our Mishnah is talking about a case where they sold, the Mechira was done by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, but just the absence of Maimad Anshei Ha'ir. So the Mishnah Bnei Ha'ir, which we started yesterday, is talking about a case where the representatives of the city, we'll call them the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, they sold whatever they sold. So in the first case of the Mishnah, what did they sell? Shemachu Rechova Shel Ir. And that's the place where they used to daven on a tainus. And the Mishnah establishes that the money that they received for selling the Rechova Shel Ir has to be rechanneled Lochem B'damav Beis HaKnesses. So we're going up in Kedusha. So they used the money that they received for the sale of the Rechova Shel Ir to buy a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses, if the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir sold the Beis HaKnesses, Lokhim Teva. They buy an Aron Kodesh, or a Shulchan on which the Sefer Torah is read. So that's a level higher than the Beis HaKnesses. Teva, if they sell the Teva, the Aron Kodesh, is Lochim Mitpachos. So they purchase Me'ilim Shel Sifrei Torah. The Me'il of the Sefer Torah has a greater Kedusha than that of the Aron Kodesh. And then if they sell the Mitpachos, what's the next level of Kedusha that's even higher than Mitpachos? Is Yikru Sfarim. They combine Nevi'im Uksuvim. And here the Mishnah lumps together Nevi'im Uksuvim. Apparently Nevi'im Uksuvim seem to have the same identical level of Kedusha. The Mishnah doesn't differentiate between Nevi'im and Uksuvim, which is interesting because the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah in the Sugya of Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofar, there the Gemara says that we start with Psukim from Ksuvim, and then we go to Psukim from Nevi'im because of Milam HaKodesh. It would seem to indicate that Nevi'im has a greater Kedusha than Ksuvim. But here, in our Mishnah, there's no differentiation. Svarim, let's say they sell Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim, is Lokhim Torah. Torah means the Sefer Torah. So on this list, this hierarchy, Sefer Torah is on the top of the list. It has the most intense Kedusha. Aval in Machru Torah, now we're going in the opposite direction about Moridim B'Kedusha, that you're not allowed to do. So you can't sell a Sefer Torah, Lo Yikru B'Damav Sfarim. You cannot use the money that you received for selling a Sefer Torah to buy Nevi'im Uksuvim. Sfarim Lo Yikru Mitpachos. You cannot use the money that you received for selling Nevi'im Uksuvim to buy Mitpachos, because Nevi'im Uksuvim, although its Kedusha is not on the same level as the Sefer Torah, but it has a greater Kedusha than Mitpachos. Mitpachos lo yikru teva, in other words, Mitpachos have a greater Kedusha, they're connected to the Sefer Torah than the teva. The teva is only the box, is only the place where you keep the Sefer Torah. Teva lo yikru beis hakneses. If they sell an Aron Kodesh, they cannot buy a beis hakneses because a teva has a greater kedusha than a beis hakneses. Beis HaKnesses lo yikhu es harachov. But a Beis HaKnesses has a greater Kedusha than the Rechov. And we pointed out yesterday that as far as Shavah B'Shavah, if you were to sell a Sefer Torah to buy another Sefer Torah or similar cases, that would be a case that falls in between the cracks, between the Resha and the Sefer. The Resha seems to require that you go up a level of Kedusha, whereas the Sefer seems to say that we object if you lower the level of Kedusha, but Shavah B'Shavah would be okay. And this is going to be a machlokas in the Rishonim, in the Poskim. B'chein b'mos roseim, we discussed yesterday that the Kiddush of the Damim applies even with those Damim that are left over after the purchase. So let's begin today the Gemara. That's really where we're holding today. So the Mishnah says that B'nei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova Shal'ir, if the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir sell Rechova Shal'ir, then I'll let it be Morid B'Kedusha. They have to buy a Beis Knesses and Maila B'Kodesh. Amar Rabba Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan Zo Divrei Rabbi Nachim Bar Yosi Stumta. This Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Nachim Rabbi Yosi, who's called Stumta because there are many Mishnayos that Rebbe wrote as Stam Mishnayos without mentioning the name, that reflect the Shita of Rabbi Nachim Rabbi Yosi. Or perhaps he's called Stumta in this Mishnah, in our context, because the Mishnah doesn't mention his name. Aval Chachamim Omrim Harachov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. So we have a fundamental machlokas about the status of the Rechova Shal'ir, which was used on fast days for tefillah. Does it have the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, or at least a partial Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, insofar as at least certain times of the year they prayed in that place? And that's a machlokas between Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi, and the Chacham, which the Gemara now is going to analyze. Now, in order to appreciate the next Gemara, and to know exactly why Rechova Shal'ir has a special status, at least according to Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi, it has Kedusha, and you can't sell it unless you're going to be Maila B'Kodesh, let me give a little introduction, which is here presented in the footnote, in the Masifta, and it's all based on a pasuk in the parasha of Tamid, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. The Talmud, as you know, was brought twice daily. And the Torah says, Tzavos b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleihem, es karvani lachmi, tishmeru lahakriv li b'moado. Now this pasuk is addressing b'nei Yisrael, Tzavos b'nei Yisrael. So Chazal say that this mitzvah is incumbent upon Kol Yisrael, which means that just like if I bring my own personal karvan, I have to be omed on the korban, meaning I have to come and stand there when the korban is brought. So too, in the case of a korban that's brought on behalf of Bnei Yisrael have to be omed ala korban. So with regard to a korban tamid, which is a korban tzibur, we need the ma'amad of Kol Yisrael. So the Chazal in Masechta Tainis asked the following question. If I bring my personal korban, I can show up in the azara at the time of the hakrava. But in the case of the tamid, we cannot possibly, it's not feasible to expect that Kol Yisrael, insofar as they are the bailim of this korban, would show up in the azara to be omed b'shas hakravas hatamid. So the Gemara establishes that we have something called mishmaros, which means there are 24 groups, and on each mishmar there was a mamad b'Yerushalayim of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. So the mamados would be representative of all three divisions of Klal Yisrael, and each mishmeres would get its week, and you multiply it by twice, and they got 2 weeks. Kshegiyaz mana mishmar lalos. So they made a certain arrangement. What was the arrangement? That there were Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim in Yerushalayim, And those who are members of that mishmar, if they lived in Yerushalayim, they would actually come to be omed on the karbon. And then the rechokim Yerushalayim, those who were far from Yerushalayim, they would gather together in their cities, and they would be mispalel on behalf of their brothers in Yerushalayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the karbon beratzon. Now this became an institution which, although the whole year round the people outside of Yerushalayim in the Anshei Mishpat would daven in the synagogues, there were plenty of synagogues, but when it came to a fast day, now when it comes to fast days, I'll just mention quickly an earlier note, that there were situations in which rain was not coming down, lo yardu geshamim, and the geshem in Eretz Yisrael would generally fall early in the winter, let's say Cheshvan time, when they reached Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and there were no geshamim, then Bezdin was gozer tainis al atzibur. The first round of tainios were 6 tainios. If that didn't help, then they went into the second stage, and that was Sheva Tainios. When they got to the second stage of Sheva Tainios, and they realized that God is not responding to their prayers, it was a very desperate situation, then what they did was, it's kind of like a self-inflicted busha, because God is not accepting our prayers, what they did is they went out to the Rechov HaShel Ir, and that's where they davened. This is a busha to the Sefer Torah. We don't usually take the Sefer Torah out of the teva, out of the Ohr Kodesh, but they did so to bring it out to the Rechov HaShel Ir. And there they would cry out to Hashem. And he points out that the Gemara tells us that there are various psukim in Tanakh that indicate this level of busha, of humiliation, that the people had to go out into the public area to daven. That was called the Rechova Shel Ir. So the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Chav Zayin Mibay says the following: Anshei Maimid Miskansim Lebeis HaKnesses. So during the course of the year for the Korban Tavid, the members of that Mishmar would go into the Batei Knesios. But when it came to this fast day, the second round of 7 fast days, then instead of being in the Beis HaKnesses, they would go out to the Rechov HaShel Ir. Vatam, Shemotziyim HaTeva Mispalim Rechov HaShel Ir Kedei Lomar. And here the Gemara quotes a pasuk: Zaaknu Bitzino V'lo Ne'enenu. We prayed in the confines of in the privacy of a Beis HaKnesses, but we weren't zochet to God hearkening to our prayers. Nivaza atzmeinu b'farhesya. We're now going to embarrass ourselves publicly. God is not accepting our prayers. And for the same reason, they would take the teva to the Rechov HaShel Ir, and they would again recite a pasuk, not necessarily a pasuk in Tanakh, but a statement, klei tzanua hayolanu. We had a kli, meaning a base, a teva, which is private, and it was inside the Beis HaKnesses, v'nisbaze bavoninu, and now we are humiliated because of our sins, and we have to take it out into the Rechov HaShel Ir. What is the status of Rechov HaShel Ir? Does it have Kedusha? So Gemara says the following. Let's go back to the Gemara. Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi, he holds, like our Mishnah, that what? That the Rechov HaShel has Kedusha. You can't just sell it. You have to sell it in Milan Bekodesh for something higher, like a Beis HaKnesses Maitaime. Why does he hold that the status of Rechov HaShel Ir is that of Kedusha? After all, it's just a square in the city, a square in the middle of the town. Beis HaKnesses, that has Kedusha to it, we understand. And the Gemara answers, what is Rav Nachum holding? Ho'il v'ya'om mispalim bo, since it's dedicated for tefillah, betainios umamodos, therefore it has Kedusha to it. Again, it doesn't have an exclusive Kedusha, because it's not dedicated exclusively for tefillah, but since occasionally we use it for tefillah, therefore it gains a certain level of Kedusha. Mm-hmm. that in event that the geshamim were not flowing down from the heavens, and the first round of tanios, the six tanios, did not successfully bring the rains, we have now a new gzeir of sheva tanios, and at this point we're really desperate, and we take the teva out to the Rechova Shel Ir, and it's going to be a public gathering of tefillah in the Rechova Shel Ir, as a demonstration of the humiliation of the people of Israel, that the tefillos are not accepted. Says Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, since on these tanios we take the teva and we bring it out and we mispalel there, the Rechova Shel Ir, there is kedusha to the Rechova Shel Ir, and therefore the principle of Maila B'Kodesh will apply to the Rechova Shel Ir. V'Rabbanon, Hahu Ikroi B'Alma, when does a place, a location get kedusha as a result of the fact that it's designated for tefillah? That's only if it's designated exclusively for tefillah on a regular basis, daily. But Hahu, both regard to the Rechova Shel Ir, Ikroi B'Alma, it's only on a temporary basis, in event that there is a need after the, as we said before, after the second round, when they get to the second round of Tainios, then we go out to the Rechova Shel Ir, but it's not designated exclusively on a regular basis for tefillah, and therefore doesn't have kiddusha to it. You're allowed to be motzi lechulin, and you can sell it apparently in any way you want to sell it. That's before we see the Ritva here. But leaving out the Ritva, just for a moment, what we're saying is the following, that Kedusha in a certain area is a result of what we call Hazmana. Hazmana means when you designate it for some special mitzvah, like in the case of a Beis HaMedrash for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, in the case of a Beis HaKnesses for the mitzvah of tefillah. So Rabbanan say, well, we're not dedicating the Rechova Shel Ir for tefillah. I mean, there are occasions in which we daven there, but basically Rechova Shel Ir could be used for anything, and anyone's allowed to go in there for any purpose. So there's no kedushas makom to the Rechova Shel Ir. It's not exclusively dedicated to tefillah. Whereas the shita of Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi is that since we dedicate it to tefillah on occasion, that itself gives it kedusha. So Rabbi Yossi, you know, if we get a chance, not today, but in terms of the poskim, we can look up. I don't know if you're curious about this, but there are many places that we, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to a summer camp, for example. A summer camp, sometimes they have outdoor prayers, and that's where they daven. They only daven there, you know, if the weather is good during the summer months. And the rest of the year, they don't use it for tefillah. But the question is, would that area, because it's used on certain occasions, reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, and our mission is a stam mission like Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, would we insist that it has a certain kedusha to it? I wanted to mention to you the Ritva. The Ritva here is quoted as saying that even lechachamim yesh ktsas kedusha berachov. And therefore, also linog bo minog bizayon. Notice, it's not that the Rabbana reject a temporary designation completely; that it doesn't create any kedusha whatsoever, and the place is now completely secular, and you can use it for whatever you want. No, also linog bo minog bizayon kigom lahashtin sham vechadomeh. So we now have three levels of Kedusha. We have the level of Kedusha Rechova Shel Ir according to the Chachamim, which the Ritva calls Ktsas Kedusha, and the Nafkaminia is going to be that also Linogo Minio Bizayon. Then we have the next level of Kedusha, and that's the level of Kedusha of the Rechova Shel Ir, according to Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, that even though it's only dedicated to tefillah on a temporary basis, nevertheless it gains kedusha, and therefore we activate the principle of Milan B'Kodesh, and therefore the damim that you receive for selling the Rechova Shel Ir have kedusha to it. They can only be used for some higher level of, let's say, buying a Beis HaKnesses. And then ultimately, we're going to have another level of Kedusha, something, as we'll soon see, which cannot be sold at all. And that's going to be what's called a Beis Knesset Shel Krochim. That's the next piece of Gemara that we want to see now. Beis Knesset, the Mishnah says that if they sell a Beis Knesset, Lokchim Teva, the high level of Kedusha is that of an Aron Kodesh. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, Lo Shanu, when does the Mishnah say that you're allowed to sell, the Bnei Ha'ir are allowed to sell a Beis Knesset? Ella be Beis Knesset Shel Kfarim, only the Beis Batei Knesios that are built in the towns. And who davens in those Batei Knesios? It's the Bnei HaKfarim. And if it was the Bnei HaKfarim, this is designated for them, it's kind of exclusively for them. When they built the Beis HaKnesses, they don't have in mind anyone outside the Kfar. Amal Beis Knesset Shel Krochim, the largest cities, there they have in mind everyone. And again, we're going to now embark upon a three-way machlokas in the Rishonim. What does that mean? What are we talking about? When can you sell a Beis Knesset Shel Krochim? What is a Beis Knesset Shel Krochim? So I'm going to ask everyone to have a little bit of patience with me, because there are three different approaches to what this Beis Knesset Shel Krochim is all about. And it's all dependent upon, or at least two out of the three opinions are dependent upon this Tosfos Kevan. The Gemara says, Kevan to me, Alma Osile. Literally, if we translate the Gemara, it means that people from outside the city come into the city. And again, we're going to see, do they come in on a regular basis, only on a temporary basis? But in any event, they come into the city and they daven in that Beis HaKnesses of the large city. And here, as we're going to see in the second opinion in Tosfos, not only do they come in to daven in that city, but they also contribute to the building of the Beis HaKnesses. So the issue here of money is going to be very relevant. Now let's keep in mind, Rabbi, say that in our sugya, our Mishnah is an overlap of two elements. And it's interesting because what would seem to be perhaps the less significant element is primary here. What are the two elements that go into our Mishnah? One element is what you call Kedusha, the sanctity. And you and I would have assumed that this is a major sugya. Let's focus on the sanctity of this entire list of objects and places, locations, and see how we can create a hierarchy of sanctity. And Ma'ala B'Kodesh Mein Moridim. But there's a totally different dimension of this sugya, which seems to be really primary. And that is what I call the Choshen Mishpat part of this sugya, meaning who owns these objects? Now Tosfos, as I said before, has one opinion that when it says in the Gemara, let's read the Gemara again, came into me Alma Osile, Tosfos says that me Alma Osile doesn't just mean that people from the entire world that don't belong to the city come to daven in this Beis HaKnesses, and that's a commonplace phenomenon. But moreover, Tosfos says, they contribute to the building of the Beis HaKnesses. Well, if I contribute my money to some sort of an object, or in this case to a Beis HaKnesses, what does that give me? Anybody? Gives me shutfus, exactly. Right. And now we're talking about dine mamonos here. We're talking about monetary value. Mm-hmm. For example, the Gemara says, Lo matzi mizmene le dahavi le derabin. According to this particular approach of Tosfos, again, we're going to see two other opinions. Since these people contributed to the building of the Beis HaKnesses, those we did a worldwide cause match, right? Today they do cause matches, right? And we decided that, you know, there's some people all over the world that come to this major metropolis and they daven in the major city, in the major synagogue. Again, what's going to be if there are other synagogues? That's another question. But let's talk about the easy case. There's a major metropolis that has one single synagogue. Just to get, you know, just because, again, if you... This you could be flooded here by so many different issues at the same time, you get nowhere. So let's try to go with the simple case. Now, if I know, for example, I live far away from this city, but occasionally I come into that city for business, And we're going to see that Rashi seems to identify a krach as a place where people come in for business purposes. There are open markets there. So I want to have a chelik in this base knesses. I want to also contribute to this base knesses. And again, according to this opinion in Tosfos, once I contribute to this knesses, then it belongs to me as well. And that's the way this opinion of Tosfos is going to interpret those three words, the havilei de rabim. It belongs to the rabim. Now, theoretically, you can have a list. Today we live in a computer generation, right? You can generate a list of all those who contributed to the Beis HaKnesses. Well, let's get everyone's agreement. Anyone who's on that list, that he as a shutaf, as a partner in the ownership of this Beit Knesset, he agrees to sell the Beit Knesset. And it's very interesting because the Gemara assumes one of two things. Either, and this is going to be the three-way machlokas that we're about to get to, either even if you got the haskama of everybody, you still couldn't sell the Beit Knesset, or alternatively, it's just a logistic problem, but if theoretically we could solve that logistic problem, and we could get every last person who dedicated money to the Beis HaKnesses to agree to sell the Beit Knesset, then Enochi Navi, insofar as he's a partner in the Beis HaKnesses, he could give his agreement to sell the Beis HaKnesses. But again, Rabbi, there are two dimensions to this sugya. One dimension of this sugya is, okay, we sold the Beis HaKnesses, what do we do with the David? And that's a sugya of Kiddusha. The Kiddusha of the Beis HaKnesses, or the mantle, or the Rechol Mishalir, according to Rabbi Nachum, now transfers over to the David. What do you do with the David? And the answer to that question is to create a hierarchy of Kiddusha called Milan B'Kodesh. That's one dimension. Then you've already assumed that the sale that the sale took place. Now we have another dimension of the sugya. And that's the sugya of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. How do you validate the sale? Do you follow me, Rav Osai? You know, it's a funny kind of... The whole scenario of the sugya just complicates the mind because you put all your energy into the Mishnah, but then you realize that there's a premise in the Mishnah that predates the whole Mishnah, if you follow me, that logically has to come first. And that is, are you, and if you are, how do you sell whatever it is in the Mishnah? You know, that should have come first. Like, if I was Rebbe, I would have started the sugya, the Mishnah, with Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, and I would have asked the question, under what circumstances are you allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses? How do you effectuate such a sale? Who has to agree? Who has the power? Who has the bailus over the Beis HaKnesses or anything else on the list of the Mishnah? Then, once you establish the guidelines for who has the bailus, now tell me, after you sell it, what do you do with the money? That's what confuses me about this.
No, if they did that, we'd all sell the shuls. We'd all be businessmen. We'll tell you what to do with the money. Now you have to figure out how to make the sale.
All right. Now
we're both the mission to discourage people from selling it, saying,
exactly. Exactly. Okay. Say, well, I'll be in business.
Yeah.
Okay, what is a Beis Knesset shel krochim, which again the Gemara says that came unto me alma asule lo matzi lemizmenele, they cannot sell it. Shlosha hesberim nemru, there are three approaches that were formulated by the Rishonim and the Achronim as to what exactly is a Beis Knesset shel krochim and why can we not sell a Beis Knesset shel krochim. And we're going to see the nafkaminas because, you know, yesterday you were very, Eric, very upset. Does it mean I can't, there's no way, no how that I can sell a Beis Knesset shel krochim? Well, there is going to be one shita like that, but there may be other shitos which would allow for the sale of Beis Knesset shel krochim. So let's go through the three shitos. Now, the first two shitos of the three appear in this Tosfos Divrei Maskil Keva. So as I'm reading this summary, this overview, you can read for yourself the Tosfos Divrei Maskil Keva. And again, it might not be exactly in the same words and in the same order, but you'll look over the Tosfos, and we'll do this as a joint group effort. So the first opinion in Tosfos is that Rov B'nei Adam, She'enam Mibnei HaKrach, Regilim Lispalosham. In other words, there's a massive amount of people, he calls it Rov B'nei Adam, that don't have... shall I say a domicile? They don't live in the krach.
They're travelers.
What do you say?
Travelers.
Travelers, right? They're market people will soon see that they come in for business to the crop, which is not a foreign concept to us, because we learned the Sugi Bakadav Gimel about Yerushalayim, that, you know, we're going to celebrate Purim on Tesvav, right? So they come in and they daven in the krach. So again, I'm going to read this again. Rov b'nei Adam she'eno mi'b'nei ha'krach. There are many, many people who don't belong to the krach. Again, I don't know what he means by rov b'nei Adam. We'll have to see. But let's just try to do the best we can with the tools we have. Is regilim l'spalel sham. Says Tosfos, again, he doesn't spell it out, but afshalom nosnu mos l'binyano. They just come in to daven there. So what rights do they have to block the mechira, so to speak? Why do they have a dea, so to speak? And here Tosfos goes back to the concept of kedusha. Has nothing to do with choshen mishpat and partnership, because they didn't chip in for the basic nesses. Says Tosfos, mikol makom, nevertheless, and what I'm going to present to you now is an embellishment of Rav Moshe Feinstein and Zigris Moshe, because everything that we're learning is halacha l'maaseh. In other words, we have a question of das. As we said before, kedusha, in the case of a base knesses, is a result of hazmana, meaning of dedicating this structure for the sake of tefillah. Now, there are two ways of doing that. One way is to say we're dedicating it for our local people, and we are going to establish the kedusha of this place. So basically, the kedusha reflects us, meaning our very exclusive, you know, circle of people, and that's called kfarim. But in the case of krachim, when they establish the shul and they build it with hazmana, they dedicate it not just for the people locally, but also for the people who will frequent the synagogue, despite the fact that they don't contribute to the money from their pocket to the actual building of the Beis HaKnesses, and that generates a kedusha on a higher level. In other words, it's not just the question of to what did you dedicate this object, but also for whom did you dedicate this object. And both dimensions will establish the kedusha. So when we have different notches, so to speak, different levels of kedusha, then there are two levels of kedusha based on knesses. One is the kedusha kala, which means relatively low level, low ev, because it was dedicated for a limited number of people, a restricted group of people. And then you have a kedusha chamura, when the Beis HaKnesses was dedicated for the tefillah of masses amount of people. He calls it Rov B'nei Adam, and you go way beyond the local people who live in the krach. And that's the first opinion in Tosfos. Now we get to the second opinion in Tosfos.
Every day, and then there's Rosh Hashanah.
And he says the following. He says, Kevan Sherabim Nosnim Mos Lebinyano. In other words, there are people who contributed from all over the world to the building of the Beis HaKnesses, and not only that, to the upkeep of the Beis HaKnesses, that's called the Shar Tzrachov. Therefore, Yefshal Limkar Esa Beis HaKnesses Shalom Yidaitom. And we'll soon see enough Gemina, because if you're saying it's because these people from the outside dedicated their funds, then if, let's say, it was a big, gigantic metropolis, but no one dedicated any funds, no one contributed from outside this metropolis, then it doesn't get the status of Beis Knesses Shel Krachim, about which the Gemara says, Lo Matzi L'Mizmanel, you can't sell it. And then we get to the third approach, which is not in Tosfos. That's the Rashba and the Rosh. They write that I can't hear myself. Afilu imbanu bnei ha'ir es Beis HaKnesses rak mikaspam. Even though the structure was built only from the monies of the Bnei Ha'ir, mikol makom, im regilim lovo l'shom rabim, mistama hikdishuha l'das kol ha'olam. So again, whereas Tosfos was only willing to say that there is a shutfis of the world, so to speak, outside the Bnei Ha'ir, because of the fact that they contribute, that was the second opinion of Tosfos. The first opinion of Tosfos was that there's a shutfis of everyone because of the fact that it was built al das harabim. The Rashba and the Rosh are saying, and we'll soon see the Nafkimina, that if the Bnei Ya'ir built the Beis HaKnesses and the monies were contributed exclusively by the Bnei Ya'ir, nevertheless, if this shul is frequented by the Rabbim, then there was something called Hikdishua Lidas Kol Ha'olam. So again, whereas Tosis would say in one opinion that the Hakadosha was Aldas Harabim, meaning for those who will frequent the Beis HaKnesses, so even if they didn't contribute, nevertheless, they are the ones who frequent the Beis HaKnesses. The Rashba and the Rosh goes, they go one step further. They say once there are others that come in and frequent this Beis HaKnesses, then the Hakdasha was Al Das Kol HaOlam Kulo, not limited to those who come in. So the Prima Gadol wants to calculate the Nafkaminas between these three explanations, and hopefully that'll give us a clearer understanding of what's going on over here. Number one, he says, Im Yadua, if we can clarify that the monies that were gathered together were exclusively from the Bnei Ya'ir, then according to Tosus' second explanation, the Bnei Ya'ir, even in the case of a Beis Knesset Shel Krocha, would be allowed to sell the Beis HaKnesses. Mashenkin, mm-hmm. If you go with the first opinion of Tosus, and certainly how much more so according to the Rashba and the Rosh, since there was a Hakadosha here on behalf of others, it's not enough to say that the Bnei Ya'ir will make that decision, because now the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses reflects in one opinion it reflects those who will frequent the Beis HaKnesses, Al Daitam Niskacha, and in the other opinion for the entire world. And therefore, it's not enough that the Bnei Ya'ir have decided that they want to sell the Beis HaKnesses, because we have a different element, a different quality of Kedusha, and in that quality of Kedusha, we have to go beyond the confines of the Bnei Ya'ir in order to sell it. Now he has a second nafkamina. Im bonu bahem lohem Beis HaKnesses acher. Right? Suppose they have two synagogues in the city. Not the case that I gave you before. So he says the following: L'shnei atamim rishonim shehu mishum zchusam shal rabim then yecholim limkar kevan sheyesh acher bimkomo. However, l'tam ashlishi, which means the Russian Rashba, is chamura kedushaso v'einam yecholim limkar. Again, this is very complicated. I'm just going to tell you right now how I understand it. And again, we're limited in time because, you know, we get 45 minutes together every day. I mean, if we were studying this for even, we'd probably spend at least 3 hours on this. But the Prima Gadol in his second explanation says that what happens if there's an alternative? So if we can invite others who come from the other part of the city to a different synagogue, by selling this synagogue, we're not cutting them off, if you follow what I mean, because they have another option. But if you hold like the Rashba and the Rosh, that this Kedusha is called the Kedushas Kol HaOlam, then that, according to the Prima Gadol, elevates it to a level in which you can't sell it, even if you have an alternative synagogue in the city. Now we get to the third Nafkamina. Im Banu Bnei Akrach V'Tolu L'Das Yochid. Supposing those who built this synagogue decided that there'll be one individual, we'll call him the Rav of the city, because that's going to be the sugi later on in Rav Ashi, that Rav Ashi was able to decide to sell the synagogue, because when they built the synagogue, they decided that Rav Ashi is going to make the decisions. Is Latam Shenodvu Gam Acherim Lo Yoyo. The fact that there were contributions, that's the second day of Tosis, from others from outside the city, that doesn't block the ability to sell the city. Share ein das hanosim maskimo ledaito. Oh, one second. Litam she nadvu gam acherim. Oh, so he says the opposite again. I don't know why he says this, but he's saying that if it's a reflection of my money, right? I live elsewhere, but I contributed. I'm not sure if I agree that the local rabbi is going to decide whether to sell the synagogue. However, he says that if you assume that this synagogue was built for the sake of others, but it's really just the Bnei Akrach who contribute, then they can make that decision that so and so is in charge of selling it. Achlatama Rosh Velrash, but Shabbat Ludas Kola Olam, he says, then would it be meaningful, and this vacillates back and forth, if they built it al-das ha-yochid, that some individual would make that decision. So if you assume that even according to the Rosh and the Rashbah, you can somehow, and this is the concept of t'nai, that you can somehow build it with HaKadosh al-t'nai, that even though it's for the sake of the entire world, and it has that high level of Kedusha, but we can designate one person who will make the decision that you can sell the Beis HaKnesses, so then t'nai works. And this might answer your address, Eric, your question, that even in the case of the Rashba and the Rosh, it might be one light at the end of the tunnel to sell a Beis HaKnesses shel Rabin, if it was built al das, in this case, one individual, we'll have to see what about al das, the whole trustees. And then the fourth nafkamini says, in Ratzu Limkar Merchatz U'mikvah, what about other parts of the city, which other enterprises or entities within the city that are built for the sake of the entire city? For example, Merchatz U'mikvah. Is Lefia Tama Rishon Shebekrochim Shenivna Vur Rabim Vikdusha Hikdushas Kdusha Chamura is Tam Zelo Shaykh Ben Merchatz Shemo Kdusha. If we go to the second explanation of Tosfos, that the Bnei Ha'ira blocked because there were contributions coming from outside the city, is Lo Yuchu Lunkar. That doesn't apply simply to a Beis HaKnesses or a place of Kedusha. It could apply even to a public bathhouse, because the public bathhouse presumably was built with contributions from those outside the city, because they also want to be able to, you know, we don't have this mentality in sociology, but they used, you know, it was critical to use the bathhouse. Since people, Rabin, meaning outside the city, is Gam Nivne Bishvilam, therefore it's Lindata. Now, just to finish this up, he quotes a Mishnah Berurah. Im Yadu Alonu Shebaru Es Beis HaKnesses Al Das Bnei Ha'ir V'lo Hikdishu Alechol HaOlam. Again, these are all very difficult concepts for me to define exactly in a fine, you know, with the fine minutia. But he says that what was the das of Bnei Ha'ir when they built the Bnei Beis HaKnesses? So he says, if the Bnei Ha'ir, clearly, again, how you know this, I don't know, they made a decision, a proclamation, that they're being magdish this Beis HaKnesses al das Bnei Ha'ir. Sounds like the concept of tonight that we discussed before.
Yeah.
We're
talking about minutes. Like you have
cheap
minutes sometimes.
Right, minutes. Okay, fine. Olam. So this was a formulated tonight that we own this synagogue. It's ours. We're going to decide whether to sell it or not. He says, Gam Yodua, we also know Shalos Silahem Acherim Mikasfon. In other words, at this point, the Mishnah Berurah is backtracking a little, and he's saying we need another condition to be fulfilled. Meaning that if there were contributions collected from outside the city, then according to one day, at least in Tosfos, the second day, it's not enough that the Bnei Ha'ir made a declaration in their minutes that we're not interested in Kol HaOlam, because the contributors, is there such a word, contributors?
Yeah.
Right? The contributors have a right to demand. They want to be in on the sale of the Beis HaKnesses. We built the Beis HaKnesses.
Unless they make it a condition where they say, and any contributions, we're only accepting.
Absolutely.
Based on the...
Right, so then we would have to get their signature, that they sign on, that they give up their rights to sell the Beis HaKnesses, you know, to object and sell the Beis HaKnesses. He says, in this case, if you have all these conditions, and that means... that number one, the Hakdasha was for the Bnei Ha'ir. Number two, we completely neutralize all the contributions, so we covered that day in Tosfos, either because they agreed or because there were no contributions outside the city. Then Dino Kibes Knesses Shal Krochim, even though it's a Beis Knesses in a major city, it's a metropolis, but it gets the status of Beis Knesses Shal Kfarim, the Efshal of Mochro, ki bazeh enes kol atamim shel krochim. None of the reasons A, B, or C apply here. In other words, the Hakdasha, even if people come from outside, is it can be stipulated al das l'bnei ha'ir and not al das ha'olam, and that would cover the opinions of kedusha that we mentioned before. So the kedusha is now the kedusha of the bnei ha'ir. That's the designation. And number two, there are no problems with contributors. We solve that problem. So we cover Tosfos Shita that the blockage and the limitation of selling based Knesset is based on Didi Mominus, on Shutfis. Is then, once we've covered all these bases, then even if it's a gigantic synagogue, right, it's in Tel Aviv, it's the great synagogue of Tel Aviv, if you haven't been there, it's massive, right? Or the great synagogue of Yerushalayim, wherever it is, it doesn't matter, then it becomes halachically a Beis Knesset Shel Kfarim. Why? Because you've neutralized all the different reasons for the limitations in sale of a Beis Knesset Shel Krachim, because you've covered both the Kiddush element in terms of how they were magdish the shul, and number two, you've covered the Dini Mominus in terms of those who contributed to the shul. So again, Rabbi Osai, on the one hand, I'm going to apologize for being too lengthy. On the other hand, I'm going to apologize for being not lengthy enough. I'm trying to just find the pshara, so to speak, the middle ground here. I could have skipped this whole discussion, and probably no one would have known the difference. But to me, at least, that's not called learning a piece of Gemara. I mean, if you don't know what you're talking about, Gemara makes a fundamental distinction that our entire Mishnah is predicated on the ability to sell a Beis Knesset. Now you want to know what you do with the Davim, and that's going to occupy our minds tomorrow and Sunday and Monday. But first make a determination that you could actually sell the Beis Knesset. And here the Gemara makes a fundamental distinction between two categories of Beis Knesset. There's Kfarim, and that's the subject of our Mishnah. And then there's Krachim. And Krachim, the Gemara says, is Lo Matzi Mizman Elim. So now we came to the conclusion that even a Beis Knesset Shel Krachim might have the status of a Beis Knesset Shel Kfarim, and you could sell it. But again, you'd have to cover all the different shitos, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah tries to do. He tries to engineer a situation, a scenario in which we cover all our bases. So let's just read one more line, and then I'll let you go, wish you a meaningful fast. Omer Rav Ashi, Hai Beis Knesset D'Mosa Mechasya. Now we're talking about a metropolis, so L'chora should have the status of Beis Knesset Shel Krachim. Afal Gav D'Mi Alma Osile, it's a classic case of a Beis Knesset Shel Rab, people are coming from the outside to Davin in Mata Machasi. It was a major city, it had marketplaces, etc. Keva da daite didika osi ibeinam is davino le. Now again, if you go back to Kiddush and Hakadosha, what the Gemara is saying is that when they were Magdish, the Beis Knesset, at the time of its building, they had in mind that this Beis Knesset should be Aldas Rav Ashi. He's the Rav of the town in Mata Machasya. He will make a decision. It's like it's his personal Beis Knesset, and if he decides to sell it, they can sell it. If you go with the opinion of Tosfos, the second opinion of Tosfos, then you're going to have to add another condition. It's not just Adaite Didikos in the sense of Hakadosha, what was the Das, but there's another element in the equation, and that is that there was no one who contributed outside of Mata Machasya for the building of the shul. Or, alternatively, and this is our suggestion here, that those who contributed to the Beis HaKnesses from outside the city, although they did contribute, but nevertheless they gave their haskama. Again, how you would work that out just in terms of logistics, but they gave their agreement that Rav Ashi would determine whether they sell this Beis Knesset. Now, what we have to cover tomorrow, B'li Neder, and I'm assuming you're here tomorrow. If you're not, please let me know. But it's not Purim here in Yerushalayim. Although we mentioned that maybe it is Purim, but so he says on the bottom here that there's a whole discussion whether in the case of Rav Ashi did he need what's called Mamad Anshei Ha'ir, or could he simply sell the Beis Knesset, decide the document and Geendik the Mice, and that would finish up the sale. So that's what we want to believe. I'm going to make myself, I can't make myself a note because I forgot to bring a pen today, but you'll remind me. Hopefully I'll remember. So after this, Rabbi Osai, we're going to get into the whole sugya of Kedusha, and that's even a more profound if you think you've gotten by the most difficult part of the sugya, I can't say that that's correct.
We're going to meet tomorrow?
Yeah.
Sure, tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.